So let's look today at the book of Acts. And we've been in a series from this New Testament book. It's not the story of Christmas today, but it has to do with Christmas. It has a message for us here that I think we don't want to miss. Chapter 19 is where we're going to start today. Verse 11, we'll go through verse 20. And a little story here that almost comical, a little story about some posers, you might say, some pretenders who have heard the name of Jesus being used powerfully by those who know Jesus. And they think, well, I would like to have some of that power. That sounds kind of cool, and I could probably make a little money if I could get this name of Jesus and use it the right way. And so they tried to do that, and we'll see what happens to them. It's pretty embarrassing. And I want to look at this through the lenses of what Jesus wants us to have this Christmas. You see, God has given us, he has slid to us some beautiful, loving presents for us to unwrap at Christmas time. And we don't want to miss these presents, and we don't want to leave them under the tree. And so we're going to read the story together, and then I hope that we can look at three presents that God is offering to you this Christmas. And don't fail to unwrap these. Let's look at the story. Verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. Now, the word extraordinary miracles, miracles would have been enough. A miracle is extraordinary. But the Bible is careful. The Holy Spirit is intentional to say extraordinary miracles. These are miracles above miracles by the hands of Paul. So that even the handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits came out to them. Now, Paul wasn't selling handkerchiefs or aprons like you might see on television today. These aren't prayer shawls or prayer cloths that someone has sprinkled or blessed. These are work handkerchiefs. Paul was a tent maker. He sweat a lot. He was a man. He was out there doing hands-on labor. And people would see a rag that he would use or an apron that he would wear or a sweat handkerchief. And once he was done with it, they would get it. And they would carry it away to the sick. And God, not the handkerchief, not Paul, God would perform a miracle through those in need. I don't see evidence that he is doing that now. But at that moment, at that place in time, God was condescending to us, to the way that they were in tune to see the divine. It's a kindness of God that he did this, and that's what he did. They took these things away, and they were healed. Spirits would leave them. Some of the itinerant or traveling Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. So these Jewish exorcists, they had heard of Jesus, but they didn't believe in Jesus. So they had enough integrity, at least, to say, I adjure you, or I call you out by the name of the Jesus whom that guy Paul talks about. Here's what they would say. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Now, seven sons of a Jewish high priest or chief priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you? Can you imagine being there that day? They come in this place, and they're going to make a little dough. They're going to make some money, and they cast this little thing out about the Jesus that Paul knows. And this man with the demon looks at them all, seven sons of the chief priest. They're not used to being talked to this way. And he says, now, Jesus, I know. I recognize this Jesus. Paul, yeah, I get that, but who in the world are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered them all, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You see the embarrassment there? They'll never be in this business again. Verse 17, and this became known to all the residents of Ephesus. It spread wide, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled, and many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, their sins. probably witchcraft, probably magical arts. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. This 50,000 pieces of silver was a sum that would have been a yearly salary for 300 years. Now, remember, many people did this. It's not one person, but it was a large sum of money. I think we see in this text, in this story, a few presents we don't want to miss this Christmas, okay? Let's look at these together. Present number one is this. Jesus is giving us the power of his personal presence. He is giving me and you the power of his personal presence. They thought they could co-opt or take what they saw Paul possessed. Hey, Paul, I like what you have, and I'd like to take that for myself and just use it. But the presence of Jesus is a personal presence. When he was born into the world, to whom did God come? He came to persons, persons in the field, persons who were dirty and unworthy. He came to individuals and told them of the birth of Jesus. The presence of Jesus is a personal, it's a personal presence. We can't just take it. We see other people have it, and we think, well, we'd like a little bit of that. Take us a little bit of Jesus. That's not how it works. I've got a picture I want to show you. Kids, just kids, who is this man? Is the Grinch a man? I don't know, but he is at least a Grinch, right? Y'all got it right. This is the Grinch. What did he do? He stole Christmas, right? And there's a whole show, a whole movie that's famous about how the Grinch stole Christmas, if you remember. Something like that, yes. This Grinch here, you know the story right here at this moment that we're watching right now is when he has a little turnaround, right? He is up on top of the mountain and he's looking down to the valley, and the Grinch has taken in those bags all the toys, all the decorations, Christmas tree, even the roast beast, right? Yeah, he even took the roast beast from the Who's, and he wanted to steal what they had. He wanted to take their Christmas. And as he looked up on the top of that mountain down into the valley, he saw that they woke up, and he was ready to see that their Christmas was ruined. And he saw them around the tree singing, right? Actually, the tree was gone. He saw them in a circle singing, right? He said, Christmas is something else, but I can't take away Christmas. I want you to know that Jesus, in the power of his personal presence, by whom was he doing these miracles? By the hand of Paul. These weren't miracles for the taking. They were working through a person that Jesus loved and who loved him. The power, the presence of Jesus is a personal presence. Two things. Nobody can take it away from those who have it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, if your life rests on his salvation, his death and resurrection, nobody can take it away from you. The world may try, and trials may try, and circumstances and families fall. I mean, things may try to do this. Money may try. All many things may try to take away the presence of God. No, no, my friend. The presence of God is something other than what the world sees. The second thing is this. God's personal presence can never be borrowed from another. If you're someone here today who's not walking with the Lord, you don't really know Jesus. Oh, you've heard his name, and you're here today. You don't really know him, but you think, maybe I could borrow a little bit from Grandma. Or, you know, my dad was he worked in the church his whole life, and surely I'm okay because my dad and my grandparents, their names they're on the building here and on the plaques, and hey, I'm a part of it. No, no, you can't borrow it. You can't borrow it from someone else, okay? There's a saying that says that God has no grandchildren. Have you ever heard that saying? God has no grandchildren. You can be a grandchild of your grandparents by virtue of the fact that their son or daughter is your dad or mom. But God does not have any grandchildren. You're a son or daughter of the King, King Jesus, by virtue of the fact that you personally know him. That you have looked at his grace and you have said, I'm amazed of God's senseless love like this. It doesn't make sense. And I want to be his. Christmas is a time when a lot of us try to borrow the name of Jesus. A lot of people here on the radio, it's on everyone's lips, and we're here today for a special program. But the gift of God, the present under the tree for us, is not that we can borrow a little Christmas season, a little sense of warmth from the Lord Jesus. The gift of God is that we can know Him personally. If you're trying to borrow, don't do that. You come to Him and accept His offer and unwrap that gift. The second present is this. Present number two, Jesus gives us recognizable power for real life. The demon looked at him, and this is the best part of this whole section. Is he said, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you? The demons didn't recognize who this person was. He wasn't a real part of Jesus. And these guys made the mistake of taking Jesus into a real life, critical, dangerous situation and tried to play games with him instead of really being affiliated with his power. We got to know Jesus, not just know of Jesus. I went to my office yesterday. We were all here for the manger build. So many of you kids and dads came and built mangers. It was so much fun. I appreciate all the work of everybody. But after it was over, I was cleaning up some, and my kids went into my office there and just waited on me. And when I came in there, Jackson was in my chair and leaned back, feet up on the desk, right? You know how it is. One of my daughter Olivia was sitting on top of my desk, right, playing a video game, crossed her legs on top of the desk. Reese had turned over the chairs and created a fort in the floor. All right, he was living in there. And so, you know what though? That's okay because they're my kids, right? They bear my name. They belong to me. They carry my blood. They're mine. Now, if I go in there after church, after the meal that we're going to have in a few minutes, and your family is doing that in my office, if you're there kicked back in my chair and your wife is sitting up on my desk, you know, playing video games, if your kids are living in a fort in my floor, you know, listen, I love y'all, but that's going to be weird for us. That's going to be a little awkward. What makes the big difference? The difference is my kids are mine. Listen, they belong to me. They're undetachable from who I am. And I do love you, but that's a difference. That's a big difference there. Listen, these guys carried the name of the Lord Jesus in there, and they didn't realize they don't belong to Him. They do not have the standing, the rights, and the privileges of one who knows the Lord Jesus, of one who can say, yes, I am forgiven. Yes, Jesus came to this world. He came to me. And Jesus confronted my heart one day, and it wasn't easy, and it wasn't comfortable, but I stood and I said, yes, Lord. Okay, once and for all, I am yours. Now that man can carry the power of the Lord Jesus. That man is not an imposter. That woman is not a fraud. That lady will walk into a dangerous, critical situation in life. When the doctor comes out from the hospital room and you know the news is coming, right? When the lawyer slides the pen across the paper and says, you just sign right there. When everything is crashing down, or when we are called upon to present the power of God in life, guess what? The man who knows the Lord can speak clearly. And those forces and situations will recognize this one. Oh, I recognize this one. He walks with Jesus. There's no fraud there. Christmas time, the name of Jesus is on everybody's lips. Those who know Him, those who don't know Him. Don't walk away from Christmas with His name on your lips this year, but never having known who He is and Him not knowing you. The third present is this. Present number three, Jesus gives us sight to see the difference. Jesus gives us sight to see the difference. So here's what happened. This bad thing happened. They went out naked and mastered, the Bible says, and running out of that house and bleeding, and people saw this. And when they saw the fake thing that we just talked about, they saw the false thing, it pointed them to the real thing. How do we know this? Because look what they did. they said those who were now believers, some people went and believed in the Lord Jesus, they came and confessed, and they divulged their evil sin, their practices. And a number of those brought real things, things that cost a lot of money. And they said, I can't have this anymore and still have Jesus. Which one is better? The Lord Jesus is better. And they cast them out. It came to 300 years worth of salary, but they allowed it to cost them something. Jesus gives us that sight to sometimes to see things that are false and to let it point us to something that's real. Does that make sense to you? I like to shop at the Dollar Tree. Any Dollar Tree people here? Okay. If you get me a Christmas present, let it not come from the Dollar Tree, would you? Okay. I just throw that out there. But I do like going there, and sometimes you find some really cool stuff there. You find some stuff that should be expensive that's cheap. And I found something that I had watched on TV for a long time. It was an infomercial. You know what those are. And it was called the Sham. Anybody? ShamWow. Right. The ShamWow. And the ShamWow guy is very famous now. And it's a little cloth that just soaks up multiple times its own mass in water or in liquids. And so if you got a big spill or something, hey, you get the ShamWow. And so I was there. You get them, you know, two of them for $19.99 on infomercial. And I was at the Dollar Tree, and there it was, ShamWow. Guess how much? $1. And so I got one of these ShamWows, orange, big orange cloth. I took it home. I was so proud of the ShamWow. I guess you have, I don't know, maybe it's something about me, or maybe you have to be a guy excited about these things. But I got that ShamWow, right? And when you have a Sham, when you have something like this, you start praying for a spill. You know, like, God, please, let me use my ShamWow. And so what happened is our dishwasher at our first house that we bought together, our dishwasher overflowed and ended up warping all of our laminate flooring, ruining it in the end. But we came home one day, and there's water all in the kitchen. And I was disappointed at that, but also there's a little excitement that came upon me. And so I said, I'll be right back. I rushed and got the ShamWow. I put that thing down. It didn't do any good at all. It didn't soak up any. It just smeared the water around. I thought, I've been lied to, you know? So I went to the website to start to write an ugly review, and I realized that my ShamWow was not a ShamWow at all. It said it was the same color, orange, same packaging, same font, you know, and it said Shammy, and then underneath it said Wow, you know, like, wow, a Shammy. And so it was a knockoff. It was a fake, you know. It was a Dollar Tree fake. And so I didn't write my review, and I learned that lesson, I guess. You know, something can look like something but not be it. Does that make sense to you? It can be false. And I want you to be clear that when you see false things in the world, let that, like happened with these people, be something to direct you to Jesus. Now, you haven't seen exactly this spectacle of bloody naked high priests running out of a building. But listen, haven't you walked this road, this life for a year? Haven't you come across things that you needed power for and there just wasn't any power? You've seen other people out there and facing hardship, and you thought, man, if they only knew the Lord. Maybe you've encountered situations where you really needed strength, and you found, hey, there's no strength there. Where's Jesus? Where's God? Why is he not? Maybe you see the false thing in your life, and you say, listen, Jesus is giving me sight to see the difference here. When I see this person here who doesn't have God's power, well, maybe when I myself encounter a situation in life and I don't have God's power, let it direct you to Jesus. Don't walk away without knowing that lesson. When you find false things, let them point you to Jesus. When you find false friends, let them point you to what's real. When you find false relationships or false hope, when you find that courage fails and false courage there,
false joy. We all find that from time to time. Point to the Savior. If you're His, then reclaim that strength. Say, God, I need to get back to You. And if you find, hey, Jesus has been on my lips this Christmas, but I don't belong to Him, then you turn to the Lord. I want you to know that a few Christmases ago, I was at my house. It wasn't on Christmas, but near Christmas, and Eric and the kids had been out somewhere, and Olivia and I were at the house, and she was little. I mean, you had to be small. She could talk, and I put her to bed, and I was excited to have some alone time. I went out and built a fire in the backyard and a little fire ring and just sat out there for a minute, and later on, hours later, Erica came home, and she came outside, and she said, did you know Olivia's awake in there? I said, no. She said, I came home, and she was in there, and she was just sobbing. She said she's crying and so inconsolable. I couldn't even understand her words. She couldn't even get her breath back. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, what did she say? And she said, she just hugged me and cried and cried. I said, baby, what's wrong? Erica said, she looked in her face and said, Daddy leaved me. Daddy leaved me. The only words she could get out that were intelligible, Daddy leaved me. Erica said, don't worry about it now. She's back in bed. Everything's okay. I said, oh, no, I'm worried. You know, I'm going in. I went up the hill into the house, and I hugged her and loved her because I wanted her to know it was a misunderstanding. Daddy doesn't leave you, okay? And I promise you today, the Lord Jesus did not break into this world. He did not glory there on the plains with those shepherds. He did not be born as a baby in a dirty manger to live a carpenter's life, to grow up among wretchedness, but Himself be innocent, and there as innocence to bear the pure and total shame, the ridicule and the guilt of all of our sin, the sin of all mankind. The worst story you've heard in the newspaper lately. The worst sex trafficker down the road. The very most vile, the sinless and innocent Son of God had that thrust upon Him. And He did not do it to leave us. Do you need the Lord Jesus this morning? This Christmas, God has given us a present. Don't leave it unwrapped under the tree. He wants to come, not to the world. He wants to come to you. He wants to say to you, do not be afraid. He wants to say to you, for I bring you good news of great joy that today in the city of David is born your Savior. Your Savior, whoever you are, Christ the Lord. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that You would not allow any of us here to walk into another year with the pretense of Your power. Let us not leave the loving gifts of God behind us again. Oh, there are believers here this morning who need to say to You, oh God, I didn't realize. I've been doing it all along, but Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. Oh God, restore me. I reclaim You. With open arms, He'll say yes. He did not come so that He could leave you. There are non-believers here this morning. You know the name of Jesus, and you've lived here in Northeast Georgia long enough that His name can be on your lips at Christmas, but you've never walked with Him. Life has called upon you for power and for strength. You've had none to offer. You found yourself more broken, more defeated. You found yourself more empty-handed, more resentful, more shaking a fist at the God who created and loves you. It's because you haven't known Him. Would you know Him this morning? We know how to do that. If you're confused or have questions, you come right up and talk to us. I'll be here and many others will be available if you need it. We'll be happy to say, hey, you move toward the Lord today. And we'll step you through that. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you would not leave us without a witness here, but that the Holy Spirit would share the testimony of your word. Tell us the truth. Let us not be left alone by it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. And as we sing, you're welcome to respond.